Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. Before we dive in, we have to do our favorite thing of the week, which is shout out our lovely patrons. Thank you guys so much for your support. It means so much to us. First up, we have our new champions for actors' rights. They are the social justice warriors of our times. This week, we have Aaron Dix. Aaron, I love your last name. Dix and Cox Unite. It's great to have you here.
Dix and Cox unite.
Match made in heaven.
Champions for actors' rights. Next up, look, we've got to shout out some folks who love boats. They love ships.
They love them.
They love to be on them and out exploring the world. They're vessel heads, and we got a few of them this week. We've got Carrie Monster, Margaret Kammer, Scarlett Tudor, Shane Isley, and Ashley Boatwright. Ashley Boatwright.
Ooh, Ashley.
Born to be a vessel head. You love to see it. Right where she belongs. Right where they all belong. And boy, do we love them. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Welcome aboard. And welcome to another group of folks joining Toni fucking Collette's inner circle. We have Wendy Muller, who upgraded from a vessel head to join this sweet, sweet exclusive circle. She loves Toni, and so do we. We also have Siobhan Kroll Reed and Kate Cox, aka Henley's mom. We bullied her into it.
We've got parents in the circle.
Our parents love us, and we love
them. Support us. Yes. Support our dream. Yes. Support our podcast. Thank you, parents. What would we do without you?
Thank you, parents. Thank you, parents and non-parents alike, for all that you do.
Yes. And yeah, our Patreon is not just for our parents. So if you want to join, head on over to patreon.com/TSDW podcast. We are inching ever closer to that 100 patron mark in which we will start releasing bonus episodes. So get in on this fabulous opportunity while you can.
Get in on it. We've run out of parents just about. So we're going to need some non-parents to get us through to the finish line. You can be a parent. You just can't be ours. but we'll love you just the same. Here's the episode.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I'm too scared for most scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared for many a scary movie.
Many a scary, yeah.
I'm Sammy, and I like all of the scary movies. Well, I mean, probably a few I don't, but for the most part, 99%, I love them.
Yeah.
She loves them.
Yeah. You like them. You like them most. What's up with us today, this week?
My brain is melting out of my ears, so...
Oh, no.
Don't expect me to be able to put a sentence together on this podcast, just as a warning.
We're recording on a new day right now. Listeners, just so you know, it's a new day of the week for us, and I'm feeling the difference. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Yep. it would be different, but I feel different.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Sunday morning, listeners, if you must know.
It's a Sunday morning. Must you know, listeners? Because you know what? Now you know.
And yeah, Sunday morning just hits a little different than Thursday evening.
It just hits a little different. And listeners, if you must know, before normally it was Thursday evening, so now you know.
Yeah, the gears are just starting to turn right now. It's the brain has not really fully revved up to its full capacity quite yet.
So this is going to be a great episode.
So if you've just tuned in, you're just getting started. We're really ramping you up for what could be a pretty weird hour.
So did anything interesting happen to us this week?
I've got some stuff.
Sammy has some stuff.
Well,
she's
part of the reason why we changed our recording day is because I have temporarily moved to Washington State, and my work schedule is going to be a little hectic, and so that's why we changed our schedule. But yeah, listeners, I'm up in Washington now. It's really beautiful.
I can't believe I'm the only one in LA right now. I am the only one who stayed where we're supposed to be. You all left me. I would rather be there. It looks incredible.
Oh my God, it's so pretty.
Yeah, it looks so beautiful.
It's very beautiful, but one thing that I didn't tell you guys yet that's been a real tough thing for me to handle is the spiders here are really, really big.
Oh no.
Like how big?
Like what? There's one called the giant house spider.
That's bad.
Gets up to
sounds bad.
Gets up to 4 inches.
Ah!
It's so big. There was one in my room like the second night I was here.
Oh, so they're like there.
They're here.
It's not a hypothetical.
Does it have like a fat body or a flat body?
Fat or flat?
You know,
this is important.
I didn't get as much. I'd guess probably fat, but the bigger thing is the legs. It was the biggest spider I've ever seen that wasn't a tarantula. Like, it has very long legs.
Wait, is 4 inches just the body?
No, thank God. That's
okay.
Oh my God. A four inch body.
That would be, I would leave. I would leave.
No, I think everything in the universe can be described as either fat or flat, and I would like to only use those two from here on out.
But I called my roommate, or I texted my roommate to be like, this sounds so stupid, but there's like the biggest spider I've ever seen in my life in my room, and like, I really need help and moral support. And he came down and like probably thought I was being dramatic, and then he saw it and was like, that's a joke, right? Like, you bought that from the Halloween store? Like, that's not a real spider. And then it started moving, and we both started screaming. And
oh,
then
no!
we tried to vacuum it, and it was stronger than the vacuum cleaner and was like clinging onto the carpet for dear life. And we finally got it, but it was really bad, and was the first thing that I was like, okay, maybe I don't want to live here full time.
Luckily, there is something actually cartoonish about imagining the spider like holding onto the carpet.
No.
Well, I've since researched, and they're like not poisonous, and they eat other bugs, and so I don't want to have to kill them, but it's just like, I don't know what else to do, you know?
That's hard to sleep with that guy around, you know?
I can't.
That's hard.
I don't know whether this might make you feel better, Sammy. I don't know if it will or not, but I've recently transitioned actually from frog TikTok to spider TikTok, which I know might shock some people.
That shocks me.
Who know how much I hate spiders, but there's actually like a type of spider that has like the cutest face I've
they
ever
can be
seen.
Cute.
In my
Henley, are
whole
you
life.
Anthropomorphizing insects?
Actually, I am. It has a really cute face. And the owner of these spiders trains them like using a laser. And they like hop on her finger and then like will do things. Mm-mm. And they have a really cute face. And
I think
it's making me feel a little bit more okay about spiders.
Send me a screen grab of just the face. I don't want to see it in motion. A spider in motion is hard for me. The way they move is alarming.
Yeah. These ones are big and also fast. It's like be one or the other.
And they don't have cute faces.
I mean, I didn't see it under like a magnifying glass. So I can't say.
Next time, please
I can't
do.
Say I saw its
I
facial
would like to
features.
See it magnified. I want to see its face magnified as it's fighting the vacuum.
I'm stressed for you, Sammy. I hope that you don't experience any more spiders.
Yeah, I hope so too. But something tells me I might. What's up with you guys?
Well, we are. I hate to do it, but I got to do it. 36 days from the election.
Oh, mm-hmm.
36 days away.
I'm getting nervous.
I'm getting nervous. It's really important to vote. It's so important to vote, everyone. Please, 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 please vote. Please vote.
And learn about your down ballot races, too. It's not just about president.
You got to vote about everything. But at the very least, you got to vote at all.
yes.
You got to vote. You got to vote. And I've been thinking a lot about the election, and so I'm stressed. Obviously, it's just very stressful and scary. But a thing that I was talking to my therapist about, which did help, which she said, "Hey, we are going to be devastated if Donald Trump wins, sort of regardless, right? Like, duh." And she was like, "I think we all feel like if we just continue to be very nervous and not hopeful and sort of brace ourselves for like this is going to be bad, it'll somehow curb the devastation if he wins,
right?"
Which is impossible because it will be a nightmare.
Yeah.
So instead, I'm trying to be hopeful and energized and engaged now while I can, because I'm going to say it, and it's really scary for me to say. I'm still not ready. He very well might lose. He could very well lose this election. And we've got to do everything we can to make that a reality. And I'm going to try so hard to not be too scared to say that or think it.
I agree. I'm obviously also very stressed. I think that the reality is that no matter what happens, Donald Trump will say that he won.
Yeah,
and sure. So we just need to brace ourselves for
that. Or that the whole thing is garbage, which he's already
exactly doing, right? That's what he's gonna do no matter the outcome. Even if Biden wins in a landslide, Donald Trump will say it's rigged, we can't trust these results, and he will sow seeds of doubt, and we can't let him win in that way either. Like,
we can't. And you bullshit. Know what, those I think I've been thinking too, those are the words of a loser. Have you ever
it's a weak
like, it's
person.
Like someone going into a, it's like two teams going into a game, a fucking sports game, you know them, and being like, probably whatever, I'm going to play the game. I mean, I'm definitely going to play. I'm an athlete. I'm going to play the game. But like, probably you shouldn't believe any of it. The thing that you're going to watch happen that I'm participating in, but probably like, forget about it. It's like, you're already a loser. You're a huge loser and you fucking know it. And confident people who are in charge of their fucking like mental capabilities don't speak that way and engage that way. And so like, don't let him convince you that it's not real. It's real, and he's a loser and he fucking knows it. And I'm just like getting fired up because I need to just be like, yeah, he's a loser. He knows it. It's possible. We need to fucking vote. We have to do it. I've started working a couple days a week in Beverly Hills, which is a whole other thing. But every weekend there is a Trump rally in Beverly Hills, and there are rich, I'm going to say it, white people in Beverly Hills flying their huge Trump flags. And like, those motherfuckers need to know that they do not represent this country. They are the smallest possible percentage of people. And I want them to be squashed, vacuumed up like spiders in Sammy's fucking bedroom. And I already got way more heated than I anticipated getting when I started talking about this, but just like we can do it. We can do it. We have to try.
Yeah, listeners,
we just have to try.
Sign up for some phone banking, some text banking. There's things,
some letter writing parties. There's all sorts of stuff. Swing Left has a bunch of great things. Act Blue is doing great work. Justice Democrats are doing great work. There are places you can look for hope and to get engaged, and We just gotta do it.
We gotta do it. Because otherwise it's a self-fulming prophecy otherwise.
Exactly.
Otherwise, if we give up hope, then what else do we have?
I think we're all very, I mean, obviously, fucking like we're still very wounded from 2016 and how that all went down. And like, yeah, that was bad. And it means that we know that shit can go way wrong and we can't get to like, oh, we've got this. We've gotta work for it. But also, it's not 2016. It is, everything is different. We have had him as president for 4 years. We have a different candidate running against him. The country is different. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Oh, 200,000 people have died. Nobody is working. Like, things are different. It is different. You cannot pretend that it's 2016 because it is not. Mm-hmm. Oof. And you know what? Here's another thing that happened in the world this fucking week. A dear friend of ours, who I won't name because I don't know if we're doing this, brought life into the world. And hey, man, let's fucking win this goddamn election for all the good babies that need a world to live in that is hopeful and good for women. She's a little, in this moment, we're going to assume woman. She's a baby. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Babies don't have gender. But let's make a fucking better world for that baby who we already just love so dearly. So,
yep.
There we go. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's all it is.
And if also if women can be giving birth wearing masks,
fucking yeah.
You guys, everyone else can wear masks too.
You can wear a mask if a person can push a human out of their body in a mask. You
it's
can do
wild.
It.
Wild.
You can
wild
fucking do it.
That women are having to wear masks while giving birth. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, fucking man. Sucks.
Women are amazing.
And speaking of strong women.
Oh, what a segue.
We had a scaredy cat of our own watch a scary movie this week. It's about you.
It was for the movie. Wow. Oh,
well,
my God.
Is. You watched a scary movie this week.
I watched a scary movie. I guess I'm really brave now. I watched the movie this week. I really like it. I really like the movie.
I'm excited to hear about it. Ooh.
So the movie is The Invisible Man, which came out in 2020. It is directed, I'm going to probably say his name wrong, but directed by Lee Whannell. Is that what we're going to say?
I think
Lee
that's
Whannell.
Right.
Written by Lee Whannell.
Is he the actor from Saw?
Is he? I don't know. Let's find out. Lee Whannell is the actor from Saw. Yep.
Okay.
So we got a professional on our hands.
A professional. And this movie is starring Elizabeth Moss, Aldous Hodge, Harriet Dyer, Storm Reed, Oliver Jackson Cohen, and Michael Dorman. I really liked it. So I watched it. My good friend Betsy, a horror respondent, Betsy Starra, we know her, we love her, has a projector screen like up in her back patio area. So we've done a couple like distanced outdoor movie nights. And so I watched it over there with friends and was able to hide my eyes for most of it. But I really liked it. And so I rewatched it on my own to take notes. And I'd already seen it and I was still quite scared. But it's really good. And it's a scary movie that I could handle because it's not a scenario I'm worried about happening to me.
Sure.
I mean, what it maps over of like an abusive partner and gaslighting and like all of that is very real.
Yes.
But like the actual, you know, how it occurs, not going to happen to me.
Right.
And it didn't give me night. It wasn't going to like stick around in my head. It's just like scary in the moment, which is honestly very fun, especially for coming up on spooky season. But because our brave Sammy was going through a move and had a lot on her plate, I agreed to watch the movie, and I'm really excited to tell you guys about
it. I'm excited to hear about it.
And it came out in February 28th, 2020. So in the immediate pre-world, this movie came out.
I remember that it was the first thing that they then released onto VOD for $20, which seemed like an extreme price.
Crazy at the time, yeah.
But I believe, listeners, it is now streaming on HBO for free. HBO
it
Max.
It is now streaming.
My Nemesis Network.
I know, your Nemesis Network. It is streaming there. It's good. As a movie, I think it's really good. The acting is, Elizabeth Moss is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I really wish she were in a Scientologist. And also, you know what? She is, so whatever. And I love her, and she's so good. In watching this movie, we were talking about it. Betsy and I and our small group that was watching it, like, I honestly, it's a very good movie. It's very highly reviewed. I don't think this movie works without Elizabeth Moss. I like cannot think of another potential actress to do this movie that makes it work because it's so like she's just so believable in every. It's like, and she's so empathetic. You just like are always so tuned in to her in a way that is. Yeah, it makes this movie work, I think. And she gives a great performance, and it's really cool to watch.
You're doing a good sell for it, Emily. Now I'm curious.
Thank you.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to watch it after.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Yay.
I really do. There's some jump scares.
I'm nervous that I think the Invisible Man is very hot, and that might be problematic.
Oh, no. Okay, because I think he's a huge dweeb, and honestly, that's like my only problem with this movie is that I... hate the casting.
Well, I just thought he was hot in Haunting of Hill House. So
here's the thing. I think he probably is hot, but it doesn't work for me in this.
Well, it's not supposed to, right? He's like an abusive, horrible person.
No, but even we'll get there. I just like he looks like a fucking dork. Like literally, because you don't see his face for a long time.
Yeah.
And like a full on like close up, and when you do. I was like, this guy? Like, I just really was like, what? This guy has this much power for this fucking guy? Anyway, that's maybe just my personal feelings.
Well, two things to say about that. One, obviously, in abusive relationships, I feel like that happens all the time where it's like, that person has that much power.
Right. Yeah, it's like not a logical thing.
It's not logical. But then also... I just like the idea of arguing over whether an invisible man is hot or not.
Yeah, when I could just like invisible. Feel what I felt from him wasn't hot. You know, the energy that they were putting in the room wasn't hot to me.
fair.
The sort of glitchy noises that you hear, not hot for me.
Just like the contours of his general shape.
Yeah, sort of like the energy he took up in a room, I imagine. Not for me.
Welcome to Cocktail Hour. If you thought this would be the place in the podcast where you'd get a break from my voice, you're out of luck. It's still me, but you know what? And that's just how it is sometimes. This week's drink is the Gaslight. For this drink, you're going to need 1 3/4 ounces of scotch, 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth, and 1/4 ounce of curacao. You will stir all ingredients in a mixing glass with ice and strain into a chilled cocktail glass. You will garnish with an orange peel and float 1 dash of Drambuie if you have it. A great, strong drink to make you doubt what you know to be true as much as everybody else around you does. Hey, cheers.
I have some trivia, which is what we do now, yes?
Yep. Let's hear it.
Great. So a casting what if. Which I love.
Okay.
And I super love in this moment because, as mentioned, didn't love the boyfriend. There are two other main choices were Armie Hammer and Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh, Alexander Skarsgård. I mean, just because we all saw him in Big Little Lies.
So we know
that he can be scary.
Here's the thing. I think because he was in Big Little Lies, it's like he can't just be the abusive
agreed.
Partner forever.
Right.
But also, that is the vibe I would have understood. Like, because he's hot, first of all, and he has, like, such a power. Like, and it's probably because I saw him in Big Little Lies, but there's something about, like, it just, that. And even, honestly, Armie Hammer, almost, like, because he, like, looks so friendly, but has that, like, shitty edge that I'm like, yeah, I'd buy that, too. Another trivia. So he's invisible, right? That's the premise of the movie. And so there were a lot of scenes where it's like Elizabeth Moss with nobody. And apparently a lot of those scenes, she insisted upon the actor being there so she could like deliver. So some scenes she's delivering it to no one. But she made choices as an actor of like when she wanted his energy there to like actually act on. And he's quoted as being like, I'm there much more than you can see me, which is like, okay, guy, fine. I'm in the movie too. they shot this movie in Australia, but we're faking it for outside of San Francisco zone.
Okay. They wanted to be closer to Toni Collette, I presume.
They wanted to be closer to Toni Collette.
Just in case she wanted to like hop on the project last minute.
Yeah, honestly, she could have been the boyfriend. I would have fucking loved that.
It's a different movie. Oh, I love
it's,
that.
It's a different movie, but it
she
works
can do
for me.
She can do anything. She can do anything.
Works for me. It apparently was very difficult to fake, more difficult than you would think, to fake Australia for the United States, because as the director is quoted saying, everything's just like a little bit different. So they flew a mailbox in from the United States to put outside the house to make it look more American. And there is a scene where she's like running through a forest and it's like pine trees, and they don't have those in Australia. So they shot that. It's at night. They shot that in like a Christmas tree farm. And so he was like, if it was light out, you would see that they're like planted in rows, and it's like where people go to cut down their Christmas trees. But they shot it to make it look like a forest, which I thought was fun. And my last little bit of trivia that really made me laugh so hard is that, so the character of Adrian's brother, Adrian is the boyfriend, his brother Tom, played by Michael Dorman, is meant to feel as if nothing about him fits. And that's made literal in his costume. His suits are a couple sizes too small to complete that subtle image. And Dorman, the actor, loved it.
Yes.
I'm like, there's something off about this guy. Oh, his suit's a few sizes too small. a few sizes too small. Oh, God, it's funny to me.
Hey, if the actor liked it, we like it because we like our actors to
if
be happy.
If the actor liked it, we liked it. Mm-hmm. Actors' rights. If he wants actors a too rights. Small suit, he gets a too small suit. really makes me laugh. But yeah, so let's watch the trailer.
Let's watch the trailer.
Adrian. He was a sociopath. He said that I could never leave him. He controlled how I looked and what I wore. Then it was controlling when I left the house, and eventually what I thought.
Adrian's dead.
Listen, you're getting your freedom back, okay?
He said that wherever I went, he would find me, walk right up to me, and I wouldn't be able to see him. Adrian is dead. He's not dead. He has figured out a way to be invisible.
Let me help you.
You can't help me. Surprise.
Scary. Men are scary.
Men are scary.
I hate this.
The side note is that men are scary.
I'm way more scared of men than I am of ghosts or demons.
Oh my God, same. They're the scariest thing in the world. We've talked about this before. They're so scary. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm, let's do it.
Wow, I'm going to try to be a good storyteller. Sammy is such a good storyteller, and I feel like we always get comments about, like, I wish Sammy could just do it all the time, every single thing. And guys, I'm going to try.
No, you're good, too. I like it when you're the storyteller.
Listeners, I'm going to try.
Okay, you guys, I just learned a really wild fact that I need to share with you. I know I'm not usually a fact person, but did you know that Americans pay about 2 times as much for their wine as the rest of the world? Why? Because laws dating back to Prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. Okay, look, we got to be getting these wine deals that we deserve. And guess what? I have a solution for you, because this podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines, however often you'd like, for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Use our code TOOSCARY for the code and password at nakedwines.com to get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently really loved a bottle that I got from Naked Wines of Chardonnay, and I'm not usually a big Chardonnay person, but I'm getting into it. You know, crisp, buttery Chardonnay is actually quite nice. And also the least acidic white wine, just FYI, if you're a little heartburn sufferer like me who refuses to give wine up, that might be a way to go. And I love just being able to try things that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself, because I get these incredible variety boxes of wonderful bottles at, again, a fraction of the price. And how does Naked Wines do it? Well, Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs, winemakers can pass those savings on hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines to you without skimping on quality. It's such a good deal to get Naked Wines. I mean, price, yes. Variety, knowing that you're getting wines directly from independent winemakers is just so, so wonderful. They've got a great quiz where you can give them the descriptors that you like in your wine so that each shipment is tailored to your tastes. So there really is no reason not to give it a try. Head to nakedwines.com/too scary and click enter voucher in the top right and put in too scary for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/too scary and use the code and password too scary and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. One last time, that's nakedwines.com/too scary, code and password too scary for $100 off your first 6 bottles.
So we start out in this remote house on like a cliffside. It's nighttime. It's on the ocean. There's like big waves. And again, silent. No music, no nothing. You hear the waves crashing. This like gorgeous, remote, huge house. You saw in the trailer. It's like insane. He is... there's a line later about him being a leader in the field of optics. He's a like a Elon Musk fucking like billionaire.
Got it. The only thing I hate more than men is billionaires.
Yo, billionaire yeah. men, they're the worst kind. Mm-hmm. So we like see the house from the outside. We see the clock. It's 3:41 a.m. And we see Elizabeth Moss open her eyes in bed with her boyfriend. His name is Adrian. She starts quietly sneaking out of bed. Moving very slowly, we see her. She lifts up the mattress and pulls out a pill bottle that is diazepam. You see the like label, it's diazepam. Pulls it out from under the bed, takes his cup of water, drains it. So we just see her. She's clearly made a plan. Mm-hmm. She's sneaking mm-hmm. out. She says his name to check that he's asleep. He is. She grabs like her bag that is already packed. This is very tense. She's creeping very slowly. She turns the security camera outside their room to face his bed and pulls it up on her phone. She's very smart. She can like watch him and make sure he's still sleeping. So mm-hmm. as she does the rest of her like getting ready to go, she's also watching him, checking that he's still asleep. She goes down into like, it looks like a fucking superhero's lair. Like it's like a big bright
right.
room with like metal cases and like security cameras. And it looks like fucking like Iron Man's yeah. situation.
Yeah.
She goes down there to turn off the alarm system. We see he has like these like black suits, like superhero suits. It's like a weird.
It's like Bruce
Wayne. We're
getting
to feel that this guy is like not a normal guy in addition to being a billionaire. Mm-hmm. But she turns the alarm off. She gets all her stuff. Goes down into the garage to exit the house. We see this dog come down. A dog in a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Hate to see it.
Oh, no.
But he comes down and just like stares at her and she turns around and goes like, oh, Suze, I can't take you with me. I'm sorry. She's like, oh, I'm going to take this off of you, though. He's wearing like a shock collar. Mm. So she goes to like take it off of him, finally gets it off. But in doing so, taps the car in the garage, which sends the car alarm off really loudly.
Oh, boy.
The lights come on in the house. She's like, fuck, starts running. But she planned for this. She put her sneakers on. She's like ready to run, bag over her shoulder, climbs this huge concrete wall that runs around the perimeter of the house, goes over it, runs to this through a forest to the road. And she's standing in the middle of the road looking at her phone. It's like, fuck, 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 looking down the road for a car coming. Nobody's coming. And she's like, where are you? Where are you? Car pulls up. She gets in. It's her sister, Emily. Mm-hmm. Who I'm going to go ahead and say bad sister.
Okay.
But just so like, obviously this is a big, it's 4:00 in the morning. Our main character by the way, her name is Cecilia. Cecilia clearly called her and said, hey, meet me in this middle of the road at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. Like, things aren't good.
Yeah.
And so Steely gets in the car, shuts the door, locks it. And Emily's like, what's going on? And Steely's like, just go. Like, drive. She's like, this is weird. Like, it's like, fucking drive. Ask questions later. What the hell? And of course, Adrian slams his fist on the window, comes up just in time. He's going, Cecilia, Cecilia. Punches his hand through the window, breaks it. His hand gets all bloody. He's trying to grab her. Finally, Emily fucking drives the car away and they get away. And then we see as the car pulls down the road, his hand goes down. He picks up. She had dropped the bottle of diazepam and he holds it and looks at it. We don't see him. We just see like his bloody hand holding the diazepam.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to black. 2 weeks later.
Wait, so diazepam is like a sleep aid?
Yes, or like it's like a sedative.
It's a sedative. Okay, so he's basically in that scene realizing she drugged me.
I think, right? Yes, that is the implication.
Okay.
That, yeah, she was hiding it. I think she drugged him to get him to be fast asleep so she could leave in the middle of the night.
Right.
Okay. 2 weeks later, we see that Cecilia is now staying with her sister's friend. His name is James, and his daughter, who's like in senior in high school age, Sydney. Her sister's friend, James, is a cop. So Celia's staying there. It's been 2 weeks. She's really rattled. She's afraid to leave the house. She's like looking up online. We see her how to tell if you're being followed. She puts nail polish over her webcam. She's just like very on edge.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to James, like sort of is like, hey, why don't you go try to check the mail? You know, production brought a mailbox all the way from the United States. Please go check it. She goes to walk and she's very scared to walk out the front door. She's looking down the street. She goes to check the mail. Someone, a jogger, runs by. She freaks out, goes back in the house. She like can't even check the mail. She's that rattled.
Yeah. PTSD.
Some serious PTSD. So knock on the door. Emily comes in. It's her sister Emily. And Cecilia is really upset. And she's like, I told you, you cannot, he will follow you. He knows where you live. So this is why Cecilia is not at Emily's. She's at like an unknown friend's house. She's like,
okay,
he's probably following you. If he sees that you came here, now he knows where I am. Like, why? She's clearly very annoyed with Emily. She's like, why can't you just trust me? Like, I told you that you can't fucking come here. And Emily's like, all right, again, sorry, being like not nice. She's like, hey, I'm here. Like, you don't have to cut me out anymore. Because Adrian is dead. Shows her the news report. Adrian committed suicide. He was found. His body was found. It's like a news. He's, you know, Elon Musk type fucking rich dude. He's famous. So it's like
right. A
news story.
Right.
Then Emily, James, and Cecilia are all sitting down at the table sort of processing this information. And Cecilia's like, It just doesn't make sense. He was completely in control. This is where she gives the monologue from the trailer. You know, he controlled everything about me. He controlled what I wore, what I ate, where I went. He's, you know, started controlling. It's just, it got to a point where he was controlling what I thought. And she said he wanted a baby. And I knew that if I had a baby with him, I would truly be stuck. So I started taking birth control without him knowing. But that can only go on for so long. So that's why I made this plan to escape and called you. And here we are.
Right.
Later that day or the next day, it's the next morning, I think, James and his daughter Sydney are in the kitchen talking about how Sydney's dream is to go to Parsons. It's too expensive. And he's like, why don't you go to a state school? In comes Cecilia, slams the mail down on the counter. Look who went. All the way to the mailbox because Adrian's dead. She's not too scared. And they're very proud of her. They're like, wow, look who ain't got the mail. They have a fun dynamic. Aww. James and James and Cecilia, they're good friends. It's like a little flirty, but it's mainly just friendly. And sure. And Sydney, all three of them, they're like a good little dynamic. Things are looking up for everyone and they're going to stay that way.
I'm sure they're staying that way.
You can believe it. No. So they're all having a, you know, little joke. James goes to look through the mail and says, oh, there's something for you, Cecilia. She says, nobody knows I'm here. That doesn't make any sense. Opens it. And it is she's being summoned to go to San Francisco for the, I guess, I don't know what you call this. Adrian left her something in his
like
will.
Like the reading,
right?
Of so, the will. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just a meeting. It ends up just being like a meeting. It's like okay. Just giving over assets, essentially. Mm-hmm. So she and Emily go. And they're meeting with, just the two of them, meeting with Adrian's brother, Tom, in a very, very, very tight suit.
Teeny tiny suit.
Teeny tiny suit. So they're sitting there and he, you know, he says he's clearly upset. His brother's dead. He is not a fan of Cecilia. He's like, you know, I know you left him. I always considered you. He's just kind of shitty. He's like, I always considered you family.
Trying to like guilt her.
And I legally have to read this letter that Adrian wrote to you. And he starts reading it, and it's like, you know, Cecilia, I thought we had enough trust that, you know, even if things weren't good between us, you wouldn't leave me like that. And Emily, in her one good sister moment, goes like, hey, stop. She doesn't have to hear this. And he's like, well, legally, I have to read. And she's like, great, send me a fucking email. I'm not going to make her listen to this. And he said, Adrian left you money. He left you $5 million. You'll get them in $100,000 installments in your bank account every month until you hit the $5 million. And shows at some point, he's like, you know, Adrian is still here with us. He's right there in that urn. And it's like ashes are on the counter. It's just like he's an asshole. but also trying to be like, you know, Cecilia, you were family and Adrian wanted you to have this. And so, you know, this is yours. Mm. That night, we're back at James's house. Cecilia's in a good mood. She says, hey, guys, come in here. I have a surprise for you. Sydney and James come in. And she says, ta-da, I bought you this ladder. You guys needed a ladder. Here you go. And they're sort of like, okay, thank you. That's a nice gift. We're really happy for the ladder. And she goes, oh, actually, there's an envelope up really high at the top of the bookshelf. I guess you could use the ladder to get it. I mean, I don't know if you want. She's just being cute.
Yeah.
Sydney climbs the ladder, gets it. It's and inside the envelope, it is a bank account that has been made in Sydney's name that Cecilia opened for her, entitled Parsons. And she said, I got you this bank account. I'm going to put $10,000 a month in it for the next 4 years so that you can go to Parsons. They're all celebrating. They're so happy. Cecilia brought champagne. They're joking about how, like, Sydney can't have the champagne because she's not 21. They're just, you know, celebrating. Meanwhile, life is good. And it's going to stay good. You know
it's
that
the fun
it
and
is.
Games portion.
It's the fun and games portion. We hit it early. we see them celebrating, and the camera sort of pans way, like, backs away from them, down the hallway to the house to nothing. We're not seeing anything, but all of a sudden, you know, they're sort of in the distance having their little celebration. We feel like the rest of the house around. Nothing happens that night. Cecilia is hanging up her clothes in her bedroom. She thinks she hears something. She like pauses, looks around. Again, it's very, very quiet. Nothing else around, but she definitely is getting on edge again.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, she's making breakfast. James comes in and says, like, hey, could you wake Sydney up on my way out to work? She's like, yeah. She leaves the pan on the stove with, like, eggs and bacon. And she had been chopping vegetables on the counter. So she, you know, we see her leave frame. The camera stays. She leaves frame to go wake Sydney up. We see the knife slide off the cutting board.
No.
And then slowly the eggs catch fire and the flame gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then there's this huge grease fire happening on the stove. Again, she's not in the room. She comes in with Sydney. They both freak out. They use the fire extinguisher. They're like, that, you know, just sort of think like, that was crazy. How did that happen? But yeah. They're not too alarmed yet. They're just sort of like, oh, I guess sure. I guess I let that happen.
Mm-hmm. That'd be so funny if they were like, Adrian is still alive and he set our eggs on fire.
My ex-boyfriend set my eggs on fire. I knew it. He hates eggs. it's the scariest moment of the whole movie. That night, so we're just sort of seeing the passage of time, and we're spending a lot of time just with Cecilia. She, again, is like on her computer in her room, thinks she hears something again, sort of looks up. No one else is around. So she starts wandering through the house. Guess what? It's dark. It's nighttime.
They'd love
she
to
does,
do that.
She loves mm-hmm. to do it. She does turn some lights on. I'm going to give her credit. As she goes, not enough lights, and she doesn't keep them on. But as she walks into rooms, she turns the lights on. I'm going to give her that.
Okay. a step above Ethan Hawke in Sinister.
A step above. As she's sort of in the kitchen living room area, we follow her and we see from looking at her to behind her that the front door is open. She turns around and sees it, walks towards it, slowly walks outside, looks around. It's cold out. We see like her breath out in the air, you know, because it's cold. We see cold air breath behind her.
No.
But she doesn't see anything. She's just sort of freaked out. She turns around. She goes back in. That's it. Nothing else happens. But we know somebody's there.
Somebody's there.
Oh, boy.
She's asleep that night. She's sleeping in a room with Sydney. So they're sleeping sort of in like a double bed. And we're on looking down onto the bed. They're both asleep. We see the covers just pull off of her and off of the bed. And then flash.
Oh, no.
Flash. So she's just having her picture taken.
Oh, no.
Oh, creepy.
Creepier still that there's like a young girl also in the bed. I don't like the added element of that.
It's not good. It's not good. We're just on her, though, in this shot, at least. Like, we see when the covers get pulled up, it's both up, but then it's just her. Flash, flash, flash.
Ugh.
She wakes up, not to the... I mean, probably because of the flashing, but she doesn't see that happen. But she wakes up, again, different from the trailer. In the trailer, she sees the flashing. She does not in this moment, which I think is better.
Mm-hmm.
But she wakes up, realizes that the covers are not on her. She gets out of bed. The covers are on the ground. She walks over to them. Looks at an armchair in the corner of the room and sees like a butt indent on the chair.
A butt print.
A butt print. There's butt print on the chair. She does a very smart thing where she grabs the covers, throws them over the chair to sort of catch a human form, as we've seen happen in The Conjuring.
Conjuring. Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Just a chair.
Okay. So it's she's a leftover butt. Print.
It's a leftover. So she's, I guess, in this moment thinking like, okay, so it's, you know, maybe it's an older chair. You know, sometimes they have a leftover butt print. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a soft fabric. grabs the covers to go put them back on the bed, starts walking towards the bed, and the covers get stuck. She turns around, pulls, and they're like flat and then pulling up, like under nothing.
Right. There's not like caught
a foot.
On anything.
A foot. Standing on them.
Right.
She goes to pull. They're not coming. And then we see footprint. Footprint.
Ooh.
Footprint moving.
Scary.
Towards her. She goes to yank it. Screams. Turns the lights on. Calls for James. And she's like, someone's in the room. Someone's in the room. I saw footprints. I swear. They're right there. And... he comes in and is like, what are you, you're freaking out. Nothing's happening. Like, obviously, you know, they don't see anyone. He's like, you have a big interview tomorrow. You're just getting rattled. Like, please don't let this guy's memory fuck up your big interview.
Right.
Get some sleep. It's fine. You know, I get it. And also, we're starting with the gaslighting. We're starting with the like, hey, you couldn't possibly be right about what you think is happening.
Right, right. I
which
have
is
a feeling
theme
there'll be gaslighting
in this movie.
All around.
I love to tell a woman she couldn't possibly be in any way correct about her own lived experience. so we're doing a little bit of that right now. Okay, next morning, she's going to her interview. She's an architect. That's cool as hell. She's clearly a little bit nervous. She's doing like nervous interview talk. She sits down with this guy and it's going pretty well. He's clearly charmed by her. And he says, okay, let me see some of your work. She opens up her briefcase and it is empty.
Oh, motherfucker.
And she starts to sort of freak out and she's like, I'm so sorry. I know I packed it. That's so weird. I'm so sorry. And he's like, hey, it's okay. Just send it to me later. We'll just keep doing the interview. It's fine. And she starts freaking out and like hyperventilating and has a panic attack and faints.
Oh, no.
So she, you know, goes to the hospital, gets some blood work done. It's just dismissed. They're like, you know, you're fine. Go on home. Then, she's home. She takes a shower. She gets out of the shower. Her phone rings. She answers. And it's the hospital calling to say, we have your blood work results. There was a high amount of diazepam in your bloodstream. So that's probably what the fainting was. She's like, what? What diazepam? I haven't been taking any. And as she's saying that, she looks over on the bathroom counter and the bottle, the pill bottle of diazepam, is sitting there with bloody fingerprints around it. So it's the exact same bottle that she had dropped. Pretty clear indication that, hey, guess what? Guess who's not dead?
Oh, boy.
Which she knows immediately. And this is the moment where in the trailer we see like the handprint on the shower and the steam. And they chose not to do it because they thought finding the just the bottle was scary enough, which I agree with. I think it's way freakier to be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He literally just came in and left me a little gift.
Yeah. Fuck
so
that.
Cecilia and James now go back to see Tom, Adrian's brother. And she,
how big is his suit in this scene?
Honestly.
Yeah. How big?
Teeny.
Tiny.
I thought he was naked. I thought he was stark naked, and I thought it was crazy they didn't address it.
It was like hard for him to move. He couldn't move around
in his
suit.
I thought he was a frozen naked man, and it was really distracting for me personally. But yeah, it something's off about him. It's his teeny tiny suit. So they go there, and Cecilia says to Tom, the brother, make him stop. Adrian is not dead. You need to tell him to stop. I have a feeling you know exactly what I'm talking about. And Tom is like, I don't understand. What is she talking about? And James is like, I don't know. She didn't tell me why we were coming here, but I believe, like, she's freaked out and I support her and you're clearly a douchebag. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he told me if I ever tried to leave him, he would find me and he would leave me a message to know that he was there. And he left me this. And she puts it out of the family. She's like, he left me this. He is not dead. He had this weird, it's a pretty funny line. She's like, he has found a way to become invisible. He is a leader in the field of optics. Which is just a very funny thing to say. Like, what does that fucking mean?
What like, are optics?
Exactly.
I mean, besides like,
it's
like
science
the
talk.
Way you
science
view
talk.
Something.
It's science talk. It's science talk. She's like, he has figured it out. And here, and she says, I think something tells me you know exactly what I'm talking about. And he says, look, Cecilia, I got to be honest with you. Adrian tortured me long before he tortured you. I was glad when I found out that he was dead. That sounds shitty to say, but like I was relieved. The only thing scarier and more powerful than figuring out how to become invisible is to not do it and make you think he did. He is torturing you even in death. You've got to let it go. I promise you. And he shows pictures of his body, of like the crime scene when they found him. Like,
right.
He is dead.
Right.
And you've got to just move on with your life. After that meeting, Cecilia goes to see her sister, Emily. She knocks on the door and Emily opens the door a little crack and is clearly really pissed. And she's like, hi, what the fuck are you doing here? And Cecilia's like, I needed to talk to you. And she's like, oh, I think you said everything you needed to say in your email.
Uh-oh.
Cecilia says, what email? I didn't send you email. What are you talking about? And she's like, about how I smother you. And like, you know what? Hey, she's this thing that's so fucking mean, which is if you're not smart enough to stay away from the bad men and not strong enough to get away from them when you are with them, then I can't help you. It's like,
wow.
So fucking mean. And Cecilia's like, Emily, I did not send you an email. Adrian sent it. Adrian is doing this. And Emily's like, Adrian is dead. You need medication. Goodbye.
Oh, boy.
God. She blames everything on her. It's awful.
It's bad. So Cecilia goes home, opens her sent folder. Guess what? There's an email in there. And it says several things, one of which is, I wish you had died instead of him.
Oh, my God.
It's a mean email. But also, I'm sorry. Your sister just left an extremely abusive relationship and is clearly dealing with severe trauma. And you accept an email like that and just go like, okay, fine, goodbye. Like, you don't try to deal with whatever.
Especially if she comes to you and says, I didn't send you an email. Obviously, your sister's having then some kind of psychotic breakdown.
And even if
her ex is become invisible.
Her leading optics ex-boyfriend. But yeah, I mean, and especially then if your sister says, my dead boyfriend sent you the email, like, you get that worked
You'd
out.
You don't be concerned, go, not mad.
You need medication. Yeah. Goodbye. Okay. Thanks, Emily. Doing the name, giving it a bad reputation.
Yep. Yep.
So then, oh, it's so sad. Cecilia's sitting like fetal position on her bedroom floor, sobbing. And Sydney, the daughter, comes in and, you know, she's like a high schooler. She doesn't really know what to do, but she clearly cares about Cecilia. And she's like, hey, you know, why don't I tell my dad to go somewhere and we'll like have a girls' night and we'll have some cake and let's just like have a nice night together. And Cecilia can see the effort and is like still crying, but says, you know, yeah, cake sounds nice. I could have some cake. And then out of nowhere, sort of, Cecilia goes to like get up and come towards her, and Sydney gets hit across the face.
Oh no.
And because she's in a room just with Cecilia, she thinks it was Cecilia.
Oh no.
And backs away and is screaming and is now afraid of Cecilia and backs away from Cecilia. And James comes in and is like, what's going on? And Cecilia's like, Sydney, no, I would never, I did not hit you. Like, and Sydney's like, she hit me, and is freaked out. And James grabs her and like takes her to leave the house and says to Cecilia, like, you're scaring my daughter. I'm sorry, but like, I don't think you need to be here anymore. I need to deal with my daughter. Cecilia's like crying and is like, I'm so sorry, please. I would never hurt her. I didn't do anything. James leaves with Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cecilia, honestly, is a fucking badass. At this point, Cecilia's alone in the house and she turns around and she's like, you hit a child? Hit me. Don't mess with a fucking child. Like, if you're fucking, she's like, I know you're here, Adrian. Mess with me. Don't mess with her.
Yeah.
She like pulls out a knife and she just like is like ready to fucking go. She goes in the living room. She pours coffee beans all over the ground to like track footprints.
Uh-huh.
Pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
Sits, knife out, sits on the ground and just waits. Nothing's happening. He's not coming. She eventually starts talking to him and it's like, why me? Like, you could have any woman you wanted. Why are you doing this to me? I'm a shell of a person. You already took everything from me. Why are you still going?
Mm-hmm.
Decides she's going to call his cell phone. Very smart.
Mm.
I saw some like random user on IMDb review of this movie being like, she's so stupid and she does everything wrong at every turn. And I honestly could not disagree more. I think she handles this very well. But yeah, not anyway. IMDb user, boo. So she calls his cell phone and she starts to hear it buzz right above her.
Oh no.
And you guessed it, the attic.
Oh boy.
No.
You thought there wasn't going to be an attic?
You thought there wasn't going to be an attic, my friend? There is going to be an attic.
There's always an attic.
So yeah, she's calling it and we just hear like zzz, zzz, zzz. She looks up, gets that ladder. Thank God she bought the ladder.
Thank God.
Goes up into the attic and ooh, you hate to see it. Flashlighting around dark, dark, dark corners. It's again so quiet. So quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Looking around, sees the phone light up in the corner of the attic. Crawls to it. On it, she finds the pictures of herself sleeping in a bed. The knife that was taken off the kitchen cutting board from earlier.
Mm.
Her portfolio that was taken out of her briefcase.
Oh, boy.
And just then she gets a text on her phone from an unknown number. So clearly Adrian, you know, got a burner phone. We
sure.
Get it. Unknown number that just says in all caps, surprise.
Oh, boy.
So then she looks over to the trap door, which is on the other side of the attic. Crawls over to it. Leans over, looks over it, nothing there. Grabs from next to her a gallon of like of paint, white paint. Dumps it over the trapdoor, and it falls over a human form. Big jump scare. Also, really
oh,
cool.
Boy.
And again, IMDb user, Very smart.
Smart and also very like smart. Keeps him visible for
exactly
longer than just like a blanket.
Smart. Mm-hmm. She's smart. We like her. She's smart. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know he's fucking there. So she like backs up, she freaks out, backs away. But
also
then,
like, these are extreme circumstances. There's no right way to react to your
excuse
billionaire
me, yes.
boyfriend turning himself invisible. Okay.
Yeah, like, I'm
there's
sorry.
No
you
fucking
tell me
playbook.
What you would do. You tell me what you would do. IMDb user. Okay. Yay. So yeah, so she comes down from the attic, sees like paint drops. The sink is on in the kitchen. She walks over to the sink where there's like white paint in the whole sink. So he has washed the paint off.
God damn it.
Which also I sort of have a problem with because like it was on his head. Like he wouldn't
yeah,
have
had time
to completely.
Yeah, but this is a special suit.
He's a leader in the field of optics and it's a special
suit.
He's
in optics. Yeah.
So in that, when we see like the human form, it is like he's wearing like a full like Spidey suit, right?
Right.
Like around his whole body.
Yeah.
But yeah, clearly a human form. So she walks up to the sink. There's paint in it. She turns the sink off. She's like got her knife out. She's turning around trying to fight him and then starts being lifted up by her neck, feet off the ground, as if she's being choked. And we get a big fight scene. She's fighting with nobody. He like puts her down. She's kicking at the air. She's smashing pots and pans over his head, breaking plates. He throws her across a table. It's a very intense fight. And she's doing it like with no one. And it's very cool. I would say a thing about this movie that is makes it more watchable for me is like all the moments leading up to is he there? Where is he? Once he's there, I can watch it because I'm like, okay, great. We broke the tension. He's there.
Same.
So like watching these fight mm-hmm. sequences and stuff was really cool. Because it shot really well, and I was like not nervous anymore because I knew he was there.
Right.
It's hard to express just how the tension. There's so much panning to nothing.
Yeah.
And panning back and complete silence. And like every time Adrian is there, we do get a little like. It's hard to describe the sound. It's like a little just like rustling almost, but like as if rustling were tech
optics.
Do you know what I mean? Optics. It's leaves, but it's optics. But that's all we get, and it's like hard to describe how well that works, but it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting a fight sequence. She manages to get outside, run away from him, run down the street. She calls an Uber, gets in, and is like drive. It's so funny. This guy's like, "You okay, miss?" And she's like, "Yes, go." She's like clearly totally fucking panicked, and he's like. Everything all right. takes the Uber, drives it, has it drive to Adrian's house. She gets out. Now it's like very early morning. Gets out. She tells the Uber, like, please wait for me. I'm going to go in for just a minute. Please stay here and wait. I'll be back. And he's like, okay. normal woman who's clearly feeling fine. She goes into the house, goes down into the control room. The like Iron Man room from before sees what looks like a empty glass case. Mm-hmm. Unlocks it with the security code, which and is the day they met. She wasn't sure. She tried a number, it didn't work. She's thinking, and then she puts another one and realizes it's the day they met. And she goes, "How romantic!" Just funny. she goes in and hears that like rustly sound. Puts her hand through and realizes there is a suit there, has it turn on, and the invisibility turns off, and it, like, materializes, and it's this black, full-body suit with, like, what essentially looks like just a bunch of tiny cameras. Like have you seen Mission Impossible 4? The one where he climbs up the building side?
No, I haven't.
I don't think I have either.
Holy shit! Okay, side note, watch that movie. It fucking rules. You know I love Mission Impossible. I love Mission Impossible so much. Oh, you know what? But actually, yes, watch that movie. But the one I think I'm actually thinking of is 5. Watch that one, too. Watch them all. They're great. Anyway, there's a thing where they like it's they make something look like it's not where it is by just like using a bunch of cameras that are like mirroring the image behind them. And it's like that, I think, this fucking suit.
Okay.
But it is really makes it look very invisible. But it just looks like a bunch of tiny, tiny, tiny little cameras like all over it.
Optics, man.
Mm-hmm. Optics. It's optics. No further explanation necessary. So she sees the suit and is like, fucking proof. Great. It's a goddamn invisibility suit. she takes it.
Good.
We hear the dog start to bark. So she's like, oh, fuck, somebody's here.
Bummer she took that shock collar off.
It's a bummer she took the shock collar off, honestly. She slips back into the main house, goes into a closet. We see her open a drawer and, like, stash the suit because she's aware that now Adrian's in the house. She, like, goes to come out of the closet, gets again, like, thrown by someone invisible. So okay, he's so there he's and he's trying invisible. To fight her.
Mm-hmm.
Still invisible.
He really loves being invisible.
He loves it. Honestly, this dude fucking loves it. You know why? But he knows he looks like a fucking dweeb. Got him. So he's there, but she manages once again to get away, to run out the door, and she gets back in the Uber. And at this point, she calls, makes a call from the Uber while he's driving, and is like, I need you to meet me tonight, 8 o'clock, somewhere public. Please, please, I'm begging you, like, and tell me if you're not going to meet me, because if you don't, I have to get somebody else to do it. It's so important. Please. And again, the Uber driver's just like, I guess this woman is fine.
He's like, ma'am, there's a bottle of water if you need to charge your phone.
Yeah, you need to charge your phone. I have some Altoids.
Do you have some gum. Do you want a piece of gum?
Want a piece of gum, ma'am? So that night, Cecilia is sitting at a restaurant, and we see Emily come to meet her. Cecilia's like, thank you so much for meeting me. And Emily has softened a little bit, about fucking time, and is sort of believing that something is actually up. And Cecilia's like, I went to Adrian's house. I found something that will prove what I've been talking about. It will prove that he is alive. And she goes to tell her what it is. And we see they're sitting across from each other at a table. We see a big steak knife floating in the air, slice across Emily's throat.
Oh my
and
God.
Get put into Cecilia's hand.
Oh no.
So Cecilia is completely shocked. Emily is holding her throat, dying, bleeding out. And now Cecilia is just sitting there, shocked, holding the bloody knife in her hand in a public restaurant.
Okay, there's so many things about this that are insane, but also, like, who would ever slit someone's throat, like, from across the table?
It would be hard to pull off.
I mean, I think he's obviously just trying to make her seem completely, like, psychotic.
I mean, yeah.
I know, but it's just, like, in terms of the people who will, like, believe it,
right?
You know, it's
but,
like,
I mean, I think
this...
nobody's, the idea is, like, it's a very crowded, hip San Francisco restaurant, so, like,
and no one's paying attention.
And it
really
sucks, because, like, Cecilia's whole plan of, like, meet me somewhere public so nothing can happen is exactly what worked against her, because now there are all these quote unquote witnesses. Of her having slit her throat. And here's the kicker. She had just sent her sister an email saying, I wish it was you who had died.
Oh, boy. Oh, how's she going to get out of this one?
How is she going to get out of this one? It's not looking good. It is not looking good. So she, I mean, and this
the
is where...
The IMDb user would do a better job,
the IMDb user would have done this very differently, okay? Mm-hmm. He would have gone to a knife-free restaurant, and he is a genius. And yes, he is a man, for sure. So she's... This is where her acting... I mean, she's such a good actress. She's incredible. She's like freaking out and crying, and we just watch sort of slow, like the sound sort of blurs out around her, and you know, people in the restaurant are screaming. She gets arrested and pinned down and taken to a fucking like mental ward of a hospital, and she's getting strapped to the table, and she's screaming, and she's saying, it's him. He was, and he's like, he's in the room, and she's staring at him. She's like, fuck you, you killed my sister, fuck you. And it's just like freaking out.
Yeah.
Cut to the next day, and she's just depleted. She's like catatonic, just sitting, staring out the window in her fucking, you know, little white room. And
yeah,
things are
not good for her at this moment.
Things are not good because also, in addition to everything else, her sister is dead. Like, also, she, not only is she accused of murder and all this shit is still happening, her sister's dead.
Yeah,
and as I mentioned, wasn't a very good sister, but you still wouldn't love it. Yeah. Also, you watched her die at the hands of your boyfriend and her throat was slit. And it was really bloody. It was bad.
Oh, that's awful. Mm-hmm.
So a psychiatrist comes
in.
She's
not going to eat at that restaurant again.
She's never going to go to. Honestly, the reviews that restaurant is going to get. Oh, that's really the real tragedy.
Oh, but maybe it'll go the other way and it'll get more popular because it's like the place where a murder happened.
I hope the sequel is about the success
of
that restaurant.
I don't think it works that way.
That's what I need in 2020.
Yeah, we got to support our small businesses.
You got to support our restaurants. I don't care what murders happened there. You've got to support them. So a psychiatrist or a nurse or someone comes in to Cecilia's room, is being really kind to her, and she's like, Cecilia, we got all your blood work back. We took on your tests, and I just want to know, did you know that you're pregnant?
Oh no. Oh no.
And Cecilia gets shocked and turns and says,
I don't like this.
And she says, it seems pretty recent and probably in the past month. And then the doctor can tell that Cecilia is just like out of it. And so the doctor leaves. Adrian's brother, Tom, comes to visit her. They're sitting in this waiting room area, just the two of them. And he says, so, the money that Adrian gave you was conditional upon, you not committing a crime or any reason that would invalidate the terms of the trust. So unfortunately, you're not going to be getting that money anymore. And I understand you set up a bank account for a young woman. Obviously, that's going to be terminated. However, there's one condition that could make all of this go away.
Oh, is it if you have a baby?
Keep the baby and go back to him.
Oh, God.
And go back to him?
So Tom does know that small-suited motherfucker.
That small-suited little bitch fucking knew it the whole time. He puts on his tiny suit every day and knows the truth. Tom says, do you think he didn't know about the birth control?
No.
He knows everything, Cecilia. He replaced your birth control with placebos. Like he needed to punish you, but he's punished you enough. He feels that he's punished you enough, and now that he knows that you're gonna have his child, you guys can be together and be a family. And honestly, that's the only way you're going to get out of this. Like, think about, he goes, like, you don't really have an option, do you? Like, that's the only way you're going to get to live.
Oh, boy. How's she going to get out of this one?
So she, stares at him and shoves, he's got his, like, paperwork on the table. And she, like, shoves it on the ground. And he goes, yeah, that's how she does it. She showed him.
That'll do it.
Get on the floor and pick up your papers. He goes to do that. Get on the floor and pick your papers. She sneaks a pen out of his briefcase without him noticing while he does that. And she tells him, he killed my sister. Like, I'm never going back to him. And Tom says, I didn't expect you to make up your mind today. I'll be back in 3 days. So just think about it. She goes back to her room. She goes to take a shower. She's like she's locked in. It's like, it's a hospital room and also kind of a cell. It's a like recovery center is what we see in the sign outside. So she's alone in her room. A security guard comes in and like locks her in. She goes above her shower where she had stashed the pen.
Mm-hmm.
Opens it. It's one of those old school like pens you have to dip in ink, so it's really sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Gets in her shower, says to the room, because she's pretty certain that Adrian's there, as she always is,
mm-hmm.
You won't get the baby and you won't get me, and goes to slit her wrist. And as she's doing it and she's bleeding, something grabs her arm and stops her hand, and she turns and goes, there you are, and just stabs him with the pen.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah.
And as she's stabbing him, it's fucking with his suit.
The optics,
so he starts, the optics. He starts appearing in the places where he's getting stabbed. Uh-huh. And obviously these are not lethal stabs. It's a pen. But she is fucking with him. And it's causing the suit to sort of appear. But then it like sort of recalibrates and disappears. So uh-huh. It's like showing up, but then going back to invisible. And it's sort of like glitching. So like you'll see him, but then you won't. But then you'll see him, but then you won't. But it's causing a huge commotion because she's like freaking out. So the security guard comes back in is like, get back in bed. You have to get back in bed. He, of course, then fucking Invisible Adrian fights the security guard. The door gets left open. Cecilia runs out. Guards are coming, trying to stop her. Adrian's taking their guns, making them shoot themselves. He takes a gun from a guard, has the guard pointed at his own knee, shoots through his own knee.
Ouch.
And this, meanwhile, Cecilia's freaking out and she's telling them, like, stop, he's right there, he's right there. And every now and again, the good thing here now is he does, because his suit is glitching, he starts appearing. So, like, sometimes the security guards will see him. The other good news means this is going to show up on security footage that, like, even though sometimes he's invisible, sometimes he's clearly there.
Right.
But so he's eventually manages to kill all of the guards because he's invisible. He has the upper hand.
Uh-huh.
But Cecilia also gets away. They run out the main doors. It's pouring down rain. She manages to take a gun from one of the security guards. She's going through the parking lot, trying to find out where he is, looking for him, looking around cars. It's raining. Other guards that have now come out are looking for her. All she gets then by an invisible somebody pressed up against.
I can guess
it's
who.
Adrian. It's Adrian. You know it. You know it. She gets pushed up against a car and he goes, I gave you a chance. But now I'm going to take something that you care about and I'm going to take it from you.
Killing her sister wasn't enough.
It wasn't enough. He said, like, so now that little girl's death is going to be on your hands.
Oh, no.
She tries to shoot him, doesn't get him. He gets away, I guess. She steals a car in the parking lot. I think Adrian, like, running through or driving away causes two cars to crash. She, like, goes up to the guy and is like, are you okay? And then, like, takes him out of the car and gets in his car and drives away. She's speeding down the road. She calls James and is like, James, you have to get home. He's like, how the fuck are you calling me? Oh. I missed a thing, which is that earlier, before she visits with Tom, Adrian's brother at the mental institution, she's getting interrogated by none other than James, which feels like a major conflict of interest.
What?
And another cop, just like about the murder and like what happened. And she's telling them, like, it was Adrian. He's there. And she says to James, like, please tell me you believe me. He clearly doesn't. But he.
Wait, James is a cop?
James is a cop. Yeah.
Or a detective? Oh, I missed that. I totally missed that.
And so, but he does feel really guilty. And he's like, I shouldn't have kicked you out. I shouldn't have said those things to you. Like, I really let you down. Also, because, like, Emily was his friend. Like, this fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But so she calls him and he's like, how the fuck are you calling me? And she's like, it doesn't matter. I think Sydney's life's in danger. Adrian's going to do something to her. You have to get home because he's at work, but Sydney's at home. So she's like, you have to fucking get home right now. She's speeding towards the house. Get in on the house. Sydney's in bed and she gets pulled out of bed. We established earlier that she has mace next to her bed because when Cecilia was freaking out with the footsteps on the covers in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
When James comes in, Sydney like picks up her mace and he's like, what the fuck are you going to do with that? Like, she's like, you got it for me. And so fun little back and forth.
Uh-huh.
So we established she has mace by her bed.
Good.
So. When she senses there's somebody in her room, she maces Adrian, who like starts to stumble, and we see like, you know, furniture shaking as he like stumbles from the mace. At this moment, James comes in with his gun. Adrian starts beating the shit out of him. He's wearing a tie. I guess he's a detective because he doesn't wear a cop uniform. He wears like a suit and tie.
Yep.
He starts getting like pulled on the floor by his tie, and like we just see him getting punched in the face and he's bleeding. Sydney's screaming and freaking out. It's like, no, my dad. He's getting choked by his tie. He sort of stops fighting back for a second. In this moment, Cecilia shows up and she says, Sydney, get down. Fire extinguishers the hallway. So now the only figure like up in the hallway, because James is on the ground, Sydney's down on the ground, is Adrian in the suit. So she gets the form of the whole suit. Shoots him in the chest. He falls. She walks over to him. She got him. She like fucking. Yeah. Those are lethal shots. She was very close to him. Pulls the mask off. It's Tom.
It's Tom.
Oh, motherfucker.
Fuck.
So it's Tom. Tom's dead. Cut to, I guess, the precinct, the detective office. It's James and Sydney, or sorry, James and Cecilia. I wish I didn't have similar sounding names.
That's screenwriting 101, folks. James? Name your characters different enough names that it's not confusing.
Folks, and you know who wouldn't have done that? IMDb user. He would have known. Mm-hmm. So James and Cecilia are sitting in the office, obviously rattled. They're having a conversation about how he's like, you know, it was all Tom. We meanwhile see, like, cutting back and forth, a tactical team, like a SWAT team, showing up at Adrian's house, discovering Adrian tied up in a closet in his house. And they're like, so cut back. James is saying, turns out Adrian was a victim of his brother, just like you were. And she's like, no,
obviously not.
No, she's like, it was Adrian. And James says, well, I have, you know, Tom's body in my house. And this is the part that oh my God, we spent James, my dude, he spent this entire movie going, you're imagining things. You're crazy. Okay, fine. You were right. There is an invisible suit. Fine. You're being terrorized. But everything you're right about stops there. At this point, you don't know anymore. He literally says to her, you don't understand, which is like, a fucking course she does. Listen to this woman who's been right every single fucking time. How dare you now tell her that she's wrong about this? And he's meant to be a protagonist. Drives me fucking crazy. And he's like, by all accounts, a very nice guy. Ladies and men, beware the like nice guy who still makes you feel like shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you. No, thank you.
She's like, I know that it was Tom last night. But everything up until then was Adrian. This is what he does. He makes me think that I am crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can, she says, if he can fake his own death, he can fake his own kidnapping. Like, he wasn't fucking dead. He's been, this is classic Adrian. This is fucking Adrian, and I know it, and I can get him, please trust me, I can get him to admit it. I can get the proof that it is Adrian. So, she calls Adrian. And goes to dinner at his house. And he picks up and is like, oh, I'm so glad you called. She gets all dressed up. She looks really hot. Shows up. We saw him more in the trailer, but this is the first time we see Adrian's like full face. And this is the point where I was like, what? This guy? This fucking dweeb? Like, he just like looks like such a fucking dork to me, which I know he also is because he's like a science guy. But like, I truly was like, really? But he's, you know, standing outside waiting for her. She comes to his house and he's like, oh, I'm so happy to see you. Thank you so much for coming. He's all nervous. He's trying to be cute. He's like, you know, I didn't know what you'd want for dinner. So I got sushi and I got steak and I got pasta. I just, you know, I wanted to make sure I had something for you. And then I realized, you know, you're probably not even hungry. And oh, I'm just so nervous to see you, Cecilia. Just like a fucking piece of shit. And she's very, like, not giving him anything and is, like, looking very angry and is like, I'll have steak. Go in. They sit down. And he's like, you know, I can't believe it. My brother controlled me. You know, it didn't look like this to the outside world, but he was really pulling the strings the whole time. And which is also like, but remember how you still stole her birth control? And, like, remember how you told her
what to wear and
you're
what
still
to eat?
Bad? And how if she ever tried to leave you, you'd find her. Anyway, luckily, she hasn't forgotten. But she says to him, if you're going to be a part of my life and this baby's life, it needs to start with honesty. I need you to admit that it has been you. I know it was you. Please, I need to know I'm not crazy. Please, I just need, and she's like crying and she's like, I need you to be honest with me. And he won't do it. And he's like, it wasn't me. Would never do that. It was Tom. And she's like really crying. We see meanwhile that she's wired and James is outside in a car listening. And she's like, I feel like I'm crazy. He was like, no, you're not crazy. And then he says, which it becomes an important line, I know you, Cecilia, I know you better than anyone. That shouldn't come as a surprise. Because he had sent that text. I guess we're meant to really connect the fact that he had texted her earlier that said surprise. Feels like a bit of a leap, but it is a thing. She like looks at him at that point and is like, It was you. Like, she just knows it. But sort of, you know, smiles at him as if like, okay, fine, you know, I believe you. And she says, you know, like, I should go clean myself up. She's been crying. And the fact that he's like, okay, yeah, it's like, you fucking piece of shit. Like, no. But she goes into the bathroom. We see her looking in the mirror and just like crying, wiping her tears. We see Adrian, cut to Adrian sitting out at the table waiting for her. And all of a sudden, very like jerkily, he grabs the steak knife sitting next to him, pulls it up and slits his own throat, falls down to the ground, bleeding out. A few seconds later, Cecilia comes out and starts screaming, oh my God, oh my God. Starts screaming, pulls out her phone, calls 911, and is like, oh my God, I need someone to come. Something happened. I think he tried to kill himself. Is crying and on the phone, backs out of the room, out of the range of the security cameras, immediately stops crying, hangs up the phone, sits down, stares at him, and just goes, surprise.
Ooh.
Watches him die. And walks out of the house. James comes running and he's like, well, because he heard something happen. He's like, what the fuck? I'm just like, it's fine. It's fine. He killed himself. He cut his own throat.
Yes.
And he looks at her like, okay, clearly not really believing it. He looks down and sees in her handbag the little like sliver of opening that looks like an invisibility suit sitting in her handbag. Looks at her. He realizes that she killed him. And she says to him, like, you heard it, right? What did it sound like to you? And he says, sounds like he killed himself.
All right, James.
She's like, yep. We see her walk away. She walks outside. The ocean breeze looks out, finally fucking free of this guy. She closes her eyes. Small smile. Credits.
Whoa. Okay. She got in and out of that suit really fast.
Well, it's
she did. It's big probably on her. Big on her. It's the exact opposite of the Tom situation where she could just jump right in it and right out.
Oh my God. I was riveted. I wasn't sure exactly. I knew something like that was going to happen, but I wasn't sure how she was going to pull it off.
It was really cool because it was exactly what he did to her sister. It's cool that it made it like she had stashed that extra suit in his house without him knowing and was able to.
That's the thing about invisible suits. They're hard to keep track of.
They're very hard to keep track of. You would think, though, that he... I mean, I guess it's invisible in the case, so if he didn't ever check it, he's like, it's not missing. It's always there. I just can't ever see it.
It was... It did definitely sound not too scary at all. It kind of... You know what it kind of reminds me of? I don't know why. It kind of reminds me of Double Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
Do you guys remember that movie with Ashley Judd?
Of course I do. I haven't seen it.
Of course I do. I love Double Jeopardy.
Of course.
Okay, Emily, you need to watch it. You're gonna love it.
Okay.
But it's about like a woman kind of being tricked by her partner. Mm. I mean, it's a very, very different film, but it has the same like scariness edge. I think Double Jeopardy is way more corny and not as scary, but it's like,
I mean,
I don't know, a similar feel.
There's nothing scarier than being made to feel like you're crazy when you know something is happening. It's why, like again, gaslighting is so prevalent in horror, because the only thing worse than something happening to you is it happening to you and nobody fucking believing you.
Yeah. Yeah, it is really scary.
Scary.
I think she handles really it scary. Very well. I think she does things very smart. She does best she can in a very, very bad situation.
In a very unusual situation, too. It's
very unusual.
Not just a bad situation. It's a bad situation that has literally never happened to anybody else.
Incredibly specific. Incredibly specific.
Like, you can't Google, like, what do I do if my boyfriend fakes his own death and comes back as being invisible? Like,
how do I apprehend an invisible killer ex-boyfriend who impregnated me and is sneaking around and lying about and using his brother? What do I do?
Yeah, no handbook for that.
You know what my question, though, is? It's like, is it even realistic that they would send you to a facility like that? Like, do we even have mental health facilities anymore? I kind of feel like they just put you in jail and, like, don't talk about it. And
we
don't
certainly
deal with
don't
it.
Have Isn't a lot of mental health services. I think they do still exist, but
yeah, I don't know what that. Maybe they were. It might have something to do with the fact that she was pregnant. But I know that there are pregnant women in jail, so I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either.
It seems as though it's an in between. I got the impression right. that it's like, she will go to jail. She will go to trial and go to jail. But like, this is maybe where she is in the interim.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. I just don't understand how that works.
Because it was like jail-like. There are guards and it's locked down and she's locked in her room. And there was a point where like, you know, she had to take a pill and they were like tongue up, tongue down, like making sure she took it. It did feel like not... Mm. Warm. They weren't like recuperating her. It was like
right.
where she had to be because of the nature of what had happened. Yeah.
Part of me wants as gets like so bloodthirsty though during these movies where I want her to like I wanted his death to like take longer than it did.
I know.
I want there to be more.
I know exactly
revenge.
What you mean. That's why I like The Descent so much.
Yeah.
I like it to be a bloodbath in that third act.
Yeah.
Emily, you killed it.
That was great. Great storytelling. I loved it. I'm going to watch the movie.
So good.
I think you'll enjoy it. It's not too scary. It's very tense. It's like similar to A Quiet Place where it's not too scary. You're not scared, but you are tense while you watch it.
Yeah.
And it's Elizabeth Moss's acting is really great. I think a lot of the filmmaking choices are super cool. I would say, yeah, worth a watch and a good one for someone who can't really be like, you don't want to like mentally be very scared, but just get like a scared movie feeling. Though certainly,
thriller.
It's a thriller. And yeah, if you have any sort of trauma or triggers related to abusive partners or gaslighting, very much not recommend.
Yeah.
It feels like that would make this extremely painful to watch. But yeah. Also, he dies in the end, so maybe that feels good.
Oh, listeners, for our next episode, and for all of our October episodes, we will be doing brackets again. So make sure to go to our Instagram so you can vote. For each week, we'll have a listener-chosen episode. So go check that out.
And we have really fun themes.
Oh, my God. So it's October coming up.
It's October coming up.
The spookiest month of all.
It's officially fall, you guys. I'm thinking about buying Uggs.
I have some knockoff Uggs that I wear indoors only.
I'm currently in a tank top and tiny, tiny shorts, sweating like crazy. So I cannot fathom needing Uggs. And I'm sure it's the second it gets cold here, I'm going to be miserable and I'm going to buy Uggs for sure because I hate cold weather. But right now it's hard to even consider.
Are there any fun voices in the movie?
What a good question. No.
No. Seems like just regular voices, probably.
Just regular voices for the most part. Mm-hmm. Unless you could figure out a way to do some rustling, like, but make it optics.
Crinkly optics.
Oh,
maybe we can all rustle as we say goodbye.
There we go.
Can you even hear that?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Why do you think that's scary? I don't like it.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch. I have some exciting news this week, and that's for the month of October, we are going to be doing listener suggestions only for each episode. So head on over to our Instagram at TSDW Podcast, where you can vote on what movie you'd like us to do next. We are also on Twitter and at Patreon at TSDW Podcast as well. And if you had as much fun as we did, head on over to Apple Podcasts where you can rate and review us. All right. Love you guys. Bye.